All right. Now, prior to our final hymn, prior to the message here, just a few announcements real quick. Did anybody not get a new prayer request sheet from Ellie? Okay, we have more. Ellie has more. Just Sarah's the only one. Okay. This coming Sunday night, if you can make it, this Sunday night we're celebrating our two-year anniversary. We'll have a pizza party and soda after the evening service. So come hungry to church Sunday night, and we'll feed you spiritually, and then we'll feed you physically. We're going to get a bunch of pizzas on the church, so that'll be a blessing for us, and a good time of fellowship. Amen? Yes, indeed. And then a week from this Sunday will be the first Sunday of the month, and of course, every other first Sunday of the month, we have the Lord's table, so that's going to be a blessing. That'd be after the evening service, 2 weeks, I should say a week from this coming Sunday. I'm trying to think, is there any other announcements to make? Oh, bumper stickers we'll have this Sunday, hopefully. Val?
Yeah, there's an announcement. I think Doris has ordered a truck for the 28th of July.
Yeah.
And which is Tuesday next week. And
nice, nice.
If you can, because I don't know where you're
going. Yeah. Available for guys.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me, because I almost forgot to announce that. Guys and gals, whoever can, help out. Sister Doris, she's not able to be here tonight because she's packing. She's getting ready to move to Florida. But Sister Doris has been such a blessing to the church. We want to help her out, amen, with the move. So she's getting the truck Tuesday, next Tuesday?
Yeah, the last time I talked,
this was the 28th, which we believe is next Tuesday. So anybody who can help, it's going to be a couple of days of loading, right?
What she majorly was concerned about was that she needed to get her furniture into that truck.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost.
Yeah, the big stuff,
and,
yeah.
And so really, that's, you know, we need guys for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and that's not very easy.
Do you have an address that you can put out there for her?
Yeah, she's on the
Essex Street in Manchester.
Right, but that won't help without her phone number. You really need to call her. If you haven't been to her house, you need to call her for directions. She's on the directory. Doris is.
Pastor, can we maybe do this? Any of the guys who are willing and able to contact you so you can kind of.
I was going to say, give me a call and I can tell you how to get to her house, and I can also tell her you're coming to help. We got some big guys in the church, Steve and Tim and Alex and Mark. Well, Mark, yeah, but he does pretty good with one leg.
I'm a tap dancer.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals at this time for our final hymn tonight. And let's open up to 123, folks. Let's stand for 123. Just prior to the message tonight, we'll sing all three. I love this hymn because it says, near to the heart of God. Near to the heart of God is where we need to be each and every day, night and day. All three. Yes, Lord.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us awake before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God.
is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace.
Think about it.
Near to the heart of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Oh, amen. Please be seated, church. No greater place to be in this universe than near to the heart of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And I know you're in church tonight on a Wednesday night midweek service because you want to be nearer to God. And that's the best place to be. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Galatians, of course. Galatians, as we continue trudging along, verse by verse, chapter 5, once again. We have plenty of pew Bibles, anybody who forgot theirs. Galatians chapter 5. And as we continue on tonight, we pick up the text in verse 16. Now, tonight, beloved, I'm really excited. Last night I was preparing tonight's message, and I'm just thinking about how good it is to know the Lord and to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Tonight's message has the potential, the possibility of transforming your Christian life like no other message. Because of the material we're going to cover in verses 16 and 17 tonight. For years, I misunderstood the doctrine of walking in the Spirit. For years, I perceived that walking in the Spirit had something to do with works. Something to do with what I could or could not do. And it struck me some years ago. The Holy Spirit showed me what it means to walk in the Spirit. And I want to share that with you tonight. Look with me here in Galatians chapter 5. And I want to speak to you on the two natures of the believer tonight. The two natures of the believer. Look with me in verse 16. Paul writes, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Father in heaven, how we thank you for these two verses tonight and the far-reaching implications of the doctrinal truths contained herein. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit gives us understanding and spiritual comprehension in the things of God. Lord, thank you tonight that walking in the Spirit is not of works. It is not of something we can or cannot do. But it is something that you desire to do through every one of us. And tonight, Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, Father. We thank you for our wonderful King and Lord and Savior. And we thank you for sending His Holy Spirit to indwell us and to strengthen us in our Christian lives. Lord, open up our understandings now, Holy Spirit, and show us this great sight and these great truths that we may take and apply them to our Christian lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, church, here tonight, in verse 16 and 17, Paul brings us home to the whole key of the victorious Christian life, that is, learning to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, at first glance, this admonition appears to involve some works on the part of the believer. But it doesn't. Listen, I want us to jump right in tonight and see this great sight. First, notice the fact of the two natures that exist in the life of the true believer. Look with me in verse 16. First, I want you to see the existence of two distinct natures within the believer. 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, here, Paul shows us clearly that there are two natures in the born-again Christian, not one, as many preachers falsely perceive. He refutes all those who teach eradication of the sin nature after salvation. Listen, in our natural birth, we inherit a carnal sin nature from our parents. And in our spiritual birth, we inherit an impartation of a new divine spiritual nature. The impartation of the spiritual nature never eliminates the existence of the carnal sin nature. It will be with you until you die or get raptured. Then we'll get a glorified body without a sin nature. In which case, you will not be able to sin ever again, even if you wanted to. Now, this existence of two distinct natures will exist throughout the entire life of the true believer on earth. And this fact clearly accounts for and explains the daily conflict that the child of God experiences in his or her Christian life. It's like two junkyard dogs going at it. They both want to win, right? Now let me ask you a question. Which of those two junkyard dogs is going to be stronger? Wouldn't it be the one that you feed the most? Yes. The answer is yes. You, as a child of God, can feed the sin nature, and it will overcome the spiritual nature. It'll still be there, but you never even recognize that person is saved. Why? Because they're walking according to the sin nature and not according to the new nature, the divine. See? Or a Christian can yield to the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit and overcome the sin nature. In which case, people will see Jesus Christ in you, demonstrated in your life. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 7. Clearly, there are two natures, opposing principles in us after we get saved. Look with me in Romans chapter 7. Of course, Romans chapter 7 is the great chapter of the fight of the believer between the flesh and the spirit. Now, it's very important to realize that whichever of these natures is catered to will be the dominant nature in your life. Okay? It doesn't mean you're not saved if you're walking in the flesh. It means you're backslidden. Okay? Now, look with me here in Romans chapter 7. Look with me at verse 15. Paul, the great apostle, the greatest missionary that ever lived, says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Paul says, you know, sometimes I do things that I hate and I don't want to do. You see that? He's saying that you have a sin nature that causes us to sin. And when we sin, we need to confess that to the Lord and make it right. Watch what Paul says, 16. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law," God's word, "that it is good." Paul says, if I live a sanctified life, right? If I do what's right in the eyes of God, I am consenting that his word is right and good. And I want to do it all the time, though I don't. Now, 17, he says, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Notice in verse 17, Paul's distinguishing between the new nature and the old nature. And he says, that old nature is not me. Beloved, you've got to grab hold of this truth. You are not your old nature. You are your new nature. This is the doctrine of identification, where I understand who I am in Jesus Christ because his Holy Spirit indwells me. I am not what I used to be. I'm so thankful for that. My wife will say amen to that. I am not what I used to be. I am a new creation of God. Amen. Look at verse 18. Paul says, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, the old nature, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will," that's to do right, "is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Verse 18, Paul is speaking about his carnal sin nature. And he says it can't obey God. It's disobedient, it's corrupt, and it's sinful. See that in verse 18? He says, how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, there's two eyes of Paul in these verses. There's the eye of his new man, and there's the eye of his old man. You've got to distinguish between the two as we read. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Question. In verse 19, which Paul is doing the evil? His new nature? No, his sin nature. The flesh, right? 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, beloved, when you see the word sin in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's not talking about sins, plural, individual things we do wrong. It's talking about the sin Adamic nature. Okay? Sin singular is the sin nature. And he says in verse number 20, sin, the sin nature, dwells in me. That's in the flesh. That's why we're waiting for a brand new glorified body that can't sin. Amen? 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, wherever I go, whatever I do, I preach the gospel, and this sinful flesh is still with me. I hate it. Watch. Verse 22. For I, which I is he speaking of now? Old nature or new nature?
New.
That's right. You're following me. For I, the new man, delight in the law of God after the inward man. Don't you love God's word tonight? That's why you're in church. Because your new man loves God's word. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. But I see another law in my members, the flesh. Warring. There's a war going on in the Christian life. I'm going to preach about it a week from Sunday, I've decided, about that war that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. That's the spirit. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, sin nature, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that who is? Paul's new nature or his old nature? Oh. Right. 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Listen to me. Your flesh cannot be cleaned up. It cannot be renovated. It cannot be made holy. You know what God's answer for your flesh is? Crucifixion. Crucifixion with Christ. I'm going to show you that in a minute here. But look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul admits in verse 25 that his flesh cannot be sanctified. It's sinful, and it always will be until it dies or until it gets raptured and glorified. Okay?
Yeah.
You have to understand, the holiness crowd will try to tell you that they don't sin. Well, somebody needs to tell them that lying is a sin because they just lied. We all sin, right? But Jesus has made provision, and he knows that we have this flesh and we battle with it. The key is we hate that. Paul says, I hate that which I do. Now, this is clearly showing us that there are two natures in the true believer. The one that we yield to will control us. That's why it's so important to yield to the Holy Spirit. But secondly tonight, go back to Galatians 5. Observe the divine remedy for overcoming the sin nature. Verse 16. Oh, this is good. 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, folks, here it is. Here is the key to overcoming the Adamic sin nature, the flesh. He says, walk in the Spirit. And in order for you and I to be living an abundant, Spirit-filled life that Jesus came to give us, we must be walking in the Spirit. But the question is, how do I do that, preacher? I'm so glad you asked. Because there is a way of doing that, which I didn't understand for years after I got saved in 1986. It took me probably 15 years to discover this truth I'm about to share with you. There is a way for you and I to walk in the Spirit. How can we, who still have a carnal sin nature in our flesh, live a sanctified life of righteousness, pleasing God our Father? To answer this question, go with me to 1 John chapter 5. In your other hand, get Proverbs chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 5, You've got to grab hold of this truth. It is not of works. Okay? Let me give you the key. Walking in the Spirit is not of works. Watch this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ born of God, you're born again. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God, what's the next word?
Overcometh
the world. Okay, how do I do that? And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Look at verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He said, your victory lies in your faith, not in your works. Now, understanding that, somebody tell me, how do you spell faith in the Old Testament? It's also five letters. Faith in the New Testament is F-A-I-T-H. But faith in the Old Testament is spelt different.
Grace.
That's a good one. But you don't find the word grace too much in the Old Testament. There's another word that I'm looking for. It begins with a T. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. That's right. Trust. In the Old Testament, faith is spelled T-R-U-S-T. Trust. It means the same thing, but it's spelt different. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. So why are we going to the Old Testament to find out how to walk in the Spirit? Oh, that's because the Bible tells us how. Look at it. This is the key to your Christian life. Watch it. Now, here in Proverbs chapter number 3, look with me at verse number 5. What's the first word?
Trust.
Trust. What's the word trust mean?
Believe.
Have faith. Believe and have faith in. Trust, have faith in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What's thine own understanding? Is that part of the new nature?
The old nature.
That's the old man that wants to do its own thing. He says, don't lean to that. Verse 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wow. Did anybody see what the wise man just revealed by the Holy Ghost? He said, if you trust God by faith, he will direct your steps. Now, let me ask you a question. Am I directing my steps? Or is he directing my... Yes, that's right. Shane, Jesus Christ is directing me and he's doing it by his Holy Spirit as I acknowledge him in every step I take. Walking in the Spirit. You see it? It's so simple. It's not a work. It's by faith. Victory for the Christian is by faith in the ability of the Holy Spirit to do through me which I cannot do. Amen? Listen to me. Jesus Christ saved you because he wants to live through you the life that you can't live. You say, how can we do that? You can't, but he can. All we have to do is yield to his Holy Spirit and allow him to do what he wants to do through us. You see that? What is the key to allowing him to live through us the life that we cannot live? Look at verse 5.
Trust.
And lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. Look at the word acknowledge. What's that mean? It means that when I'm going to take a step, the Holy Spirit will give me guidance. If I should go right or if I should go left, I have to acknowledge. If I go left, I'm going the wrong way. But if I go right, I acknowledge that's the right way to go. That's the way God wants me to go. Amen? That's why you're in church tonight, because you know he wants you to be here. That's acknowledging that God wants you to be here. See that? It's that simple, yet so profound. It's incredible, folks. Now, here is the key to walking in the Spirit. Trusting by faith the Spirit of the Lord in you to lead you and guide you in every step you take. Acknowledging Him in all that you do. Oh, this is so good. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to direct our every step. Now listen to me. If God's Spirit is leading you, you are not going to live according to the sin nature of the flesh. But you're going to live according to the new nature of the Spirit. Why? Because He'll always lead you in direct divine paths. Amen. Of the Spirit and not the flesh. Amen. The Holy Spirit always leads you to the things of God and not the things of the world. Or the flesh. Or sin. See that? Now, go to Colossians chapter 2. Let's put it all together under point 2 tonight. Colossians chapter number 2. Let me ask you a question. How did you receive Jesus Christ? By what? Did you get baptized to receive Him? No. Did you join the church to receive Him? No. By faith you received Him, right? Now watch this. In Colossians chapter 2, look with me at verse 5. Paul says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your what?
Faith.
Faith in Christ Jesus." At verse 6, here's what I want you to see. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." He just told you in verse 6 how you received Him. By faith. And in verse 7, He tells you how to live now. Verse 6, He tells you how to live now by walking in Christ. Walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
How? Look at verse 5. Your faith in Christ. You see it? Your faith in Christ will allow you to walk in Him, not works. Oh boy, this is powerful. Verse number 7. Here's how you do it. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the
faith.
There's that word again. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Amen.
This is good stuff, folks. You can walk in the Spirit. I'm here to tell you as your pastor tonight. I am telling every one of you, you can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. If you will. If you will. The only thing involved on your part is your will. You have to want to walk in the Spirit. Listen to me. Let me make a statement right here and now, church. You don't have to walk in the Spirit to go to heaven.
Oh, false doctrine. Throw him out.
I said you don't have to walk in the Spirit to go to heaven. It's a choice that a born-again Christian makes. You'll still go to heaven, but your life will be miserable if you don't walk in the Spirit. Thirdly, tonight, quickly. Observe the practical result of walking in the Spirit. Back to Galatians 5. Look at verse 16. What is the result of walking in the Spirit? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, we automatically point to sexual sin when we see the word lust. But it's not necessarily talking about sexual sin. It's talking about all of the carnality of the flesh. You know, anything that... You know, I mean, you can take a gallon of ice cream and just devour it. That's the flesh. You know, God doesn't want you to do that. You can take cigarettes and smoke them. God doesn't want you to do that. You can take wine and drink a whole bottle of wine and get drunk. God doesn't want you to do that. But He doesn't want you to be drunk on the Spirit. Amen. Now look at this. Verse 16. If you're walking in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, here's the good news, church. That the old nature is crucified by walking in the Spirit. Did you hear what I said? As you walk in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit's in control of you, your flesh is crucified. By you? No. By the Holy Spirit walking in you. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, after Paul got through with his conflict between the two natures, he arrives at chapter 8 and finds the victory. By walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Look at it. Verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that's saved people, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, now watch this, it's a law, it's a divine law. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. He's saying there's a higher law that has set me free from the bondage of sin. That law is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's living your life in Christ Jesus, surrendered to His Spirit. Look at it. For what the law could not do, what law? The one Moses wrote, yeah. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, time out, church. For sin, is that sin's plural or is that the sin nature? Ellie's shaking her head. That's the sin nature because she knows where I'm going. Verse number 3 says God's Son came to overpower your sin nature.
Amen.
Oh, the devil doesn't like this. Look at it. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. What did He just say? Listen to me. Your sin nature is condemned. It's crucified. It's already been judged. Oh, I hope someone hears me tonight.
Yes.
Because your sin nature has been judged on the cross when He died for your sins, plural, He also died for your sin nature. Judging it, condemning it. Therefore, listen to me, the Holy Spirit is now free to operate through you. Why? Your sin nature is dead. It's been crucified with Christ. When God sees you, He doesn't see you, friend. He sees His Son in you.
Amen.
And He says, she's free. She's free to walk in my Spirit and to please me now. Your sin nature has been condemned on the cross. Why did He do it? Fourthly, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, the mind is involved, the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, you know, living in the flesh, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Don't you know it's true? When you sin, you're miserable. You know why you're miserable? Because you are a Christian. Someone said to me, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure about a Christian. I got this sin problem. I said, you're a Christian. How do you know? Because it bothers you. Hello.
Amen.
You're ruined for life, and I'm glad of it. You can't sin and have peace. Look what he says in verse number 5. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to live after the flesh, is death. It's like a living death. You know, there's no life, there's no purpose to your being when you're living after the flesh. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know who the people are that have the most peace in the world? Those who walk in the Spirit. Those who walk in the Spirit because they have the peace of God flowing in their lives. And the Christian who walks in the flesh is the most miserable person in the world. Why? Because they are saved, but they're not living right. God will not give you peace and joy and power if you're not living according to the Spirit. Now, something else. Galatians chapter 5. Look at this. Almost done. In Galatians chapter 5. Oh, this is powerful. Galatians 5. Look with me at verse number 24. Watch what Paul says here carefully. Verse 24. And they that are Christ's. Time out, church. Are you Christ's? You belong to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes, amen. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. He says your sin nature is already crucified. Okay?
Amen.
It happened 2,000 years ago and someone did it for you. You didn't do it. Someone did it for you. 25. If we live in the Spirit. Now, time out. What does he mean by that? He simply means if you have spiritual life by the Holy Spirit, in order to have spiritual life, eternal life, you have to have the Holy Spirit. So he says, if you're alive spiritually, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, Let us also walk in the Spirit. Did you see it? Paul's saying that you can live in the Spirit. You can have spiritual life. Be on your way to heaven and not be walking in the Spirit. See that? That's why this message is so crucial. Because it has to do with not only having life in the Spirit, but walking in Him in my daily life. That others can see something different about me that will draw them to my Savior. Amen? Now, finally tonight, notice the prohibition proclaimed. Verse 17, chapter 5, verse 17. Notice the prohibition. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, opposite one to the other. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. What? What does Paul mean by you cannot do the things that you would? I wondered and pondered over this verse for many years. And the Lord showed me clearly what it means. The prohibition here is to walking in the flesh. And Paul is not saying that the believer cannot sin. Or that he cannot live like the world. He can. But he is saying that the true believer cannot do those things that his new nature is opposed to and yet have peace within. You see what he's saying? He's saying if you do those things, those sinful things, you won't be right. You'll be a miserable person. He's saying that's why he's saying you cannot live that way and have any peace. Now, listen to me. Do you know who the most miserable people in this world are? I once thought it was lost people, but it's not. Lost people are partying it up tonight. They're having a ball out there. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We don't care. We don't care. We believe in homosexual marriage, and we believe in drugs and alcohol and all this stuff. They don't care. They're not miserable tonight. They're going to be miserable. They're not miserable right now. The most miserable person in the world, listen to me, is the true born-again believer who is living in the flesh according to the sin nature, fulfilling the evil desires and self-centered dictates of the carnal nature. That's who the most miserable people are in the world tonight. And folks, listen to me. There's tons of them out there. We need to bring them back. Amen? They are saved. They're backslidden. They're still saved, and they still need a home to call their own, like this one. And we need to bring them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, just about done. Romans chapter 6. Oh, how important this is to understand walking in the Spirit is not a work, but it is an act of faith, and it is by grace. Amen? It's by grace, not by work. Verse, look at me in Romans chapter 6. Question, what shall we say then? Shall we, believers, continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He says, why would you live according to your old Adamic sin nature, seeing that you're dead to sin now in Jesus Christ? Your sins are gone. See that? He says, that would be a foolish thing to do. Three, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. That's talking about spirit baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can find that. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now notice in verse 4, the word should. He didn't say will. He said we should. See, the will is never eradicated. We always have to choose the things that please our Father and not the things that please the flesh. It's an act of the will. And it's done out of love, amen, not constraint. Okay? And it's not done by my own power, but by the power of another who indwells me. Verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, something you got to know. That our old man, that's the old nature, is. See, the King James Bible is the only one that will give you the correct rendering in verse 6. Your old man is. They tell you, NIV says, no, it's supposed to be was. Wrong, because if it was, it could be alive now. It is crucified with him. See that? It is crucified, present tense. Is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth, we should not serve sin. Why? Our sins are gone. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I guarantee if you go down to the cemetery over here on Route 3A and go over there and dig up one of those graves and put a Playboy magazine in front of that guy, I guarantee he won't even look at it. He won't even look at it. Why? He's dead. Dead people can't sin. God considers you already crucified. 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing, something else you got to know, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you see what Paul said in verse 11? Reckon, account yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. 12. Let not sin therefore, sin nature. See that singular sin? That's the sin nature. Let not the sin nature therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. He's saying if you're not careful, your sin nature will dominate you. See that? We're all vulnerable to that. 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, the sin nature, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why, Paul? For ye are not under the law, but under grace. The last word of verse 14 is the whole key to what I'm telling you tonight. You're under grace.
That's right.
You're under grace to the point that even when you do mess up, and you will, and I will, even when we do mess up, there is grace for forgiveness and reconciliation. We can't lose, church. Jesus Christ has made it so that you and I cannot lose in this Christian life. He has gotten the victory for us. Now, look with me in verse 18. Same chapter. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Let me tell you something. Before October 3rd of 1986, I was the servant and slave of sin.
That's right.
Ask my old buddies. They don't want to know me no more. Ask my precious wife. I was a slave to sin before I got saved. But look at it. Being then made free from sin, ye became, you can put your name in there, ye became the servants of righteousness. How? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. God is a miracle working God, and God can take the vilest, most filthy sinner and make him a saint. Make him a man of God. Make him a woman of God. Amen? Listen, look with me here. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? You were never ashamed of them before you got saved, but now, yeah, you hate those things. For the end of those things is death. But now, tonight, church, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. He says, you have already become dead to sin. You already are alive unto God. It's too late to get out, too late to jump ship. You're on your way to heaven. Yeah. And you're a servant of God. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Despite all of our failures, despite all of our weaknesses and foolish tendencies, we are the servants of God. It's so beautiful that I don't have... Listen to me. I don't have to be perfect. My Savior is.
Amen.
And my Savior is in me. And when my Father looks at me, he doesn't see Bob Oliver. He sees his Son in me. This truth tonight will transform your Christian life. Now, in closing, listen carefully. Paul is saying here that not only will you have no peace by yielding to the flesh, but you may even die prematurely if you do. Why? Look with me here in chapter number 6 again. Look with me at verse number 16. Question. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin, the sin nature, unto what?
Death.
Death. Wait a minute. Or of obedience unto righteousness? Did Paul just say what I think he said? Yup. He said you can die prematurely. How? By yielding to the sin nature. By living in the sin. God is patient. God is patient, and God is long-suffering and gentle and forgiving and gracious. But God has a breaking point. If we choose to yield to the flesh, and we go month after month, year after year, you know, without repenting, the Bible says you can die prematurely. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 make it clear that if any man defile the temple of God, which temple ye are, which is holy, God shall destroy him. Yeah. That's a powerful verse, folks. Back to Galatians chapter 5, we'll finish up. There's a danger. I'm simply giving you a word of warning in closing tonight. There is a danger of yielding to the flesh. Why? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll finish up here. I just thought of a good verse to close with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. You have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit by faith through His grace. Look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at me at verse 28. Talking about the Lord's table. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself. That's taking a self account of sin, making sure there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. That damnation, that's judgment. That's chastisement. That's not the damnation of hell. You can't go to hell. That's talk, the Greek word is judgment, discipline, chastisement, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now that word sleep is not talking about taking an afternoon nap. As you know, in the New Testament, sleep for the Christian is physical death. Physical death. The body sleeps, but the soul is alive with God, okay? He said in verse 30, if they're not right and they partake of the Lord's table, they can die prematurely. For why? Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What does that mean? It means when you sin, you confess that to God. You judge it as wrong and you repent of it and He forgives you. Boom, it's settled. It's gone forever. But, verse 32, when we are judged, let's say you don't repent of it. You continue in that sin. You're going to get chastised. Watch. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Why? That we should not be condemned with the world. You see that? You're not in the world no more. You belong to God. And if you go astray, He's going to spank you back into the right way. I don't know about you, but I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. My Father loves me enough to correct me when I'm wrong. Amen. Amen. Take you to the woodshed. Now, in closing, Father, we thank you tonight for Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. And Lord, I want to thank you for the blessing of walking in the Spirit. It's precious, Lord. But I'm so thankful that your word clearly teaches us that it is not a work. Walking in the Spirit is by faith. And it's by grace. Lord, we're so thankful that your Holy Spirit has made this so clear. We don't have to do jumping jacks or calisthenics or join the army. All we need to do is trust you to live through us the life that we could not live. Acknowledging you in every step we take. Trusting in you to direct our paths and our steps, Lord. And you will by your Holy Spirit within. We're so thankful for this profound truth tonight. So simple, yet so deep. Lord, we pray that you would apply it to every one of our Christian lives, that we would be pleasing our Father by walking in the Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we'll stand and open up to 110. I'm so glad that anything that goes awry in my life, I got somebody I can tell it to. I must tell Jesus. Amen. I must tell Jesus. Hymn 110, all three.
Bear these burdens of old. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves us, as for his own. Kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver me of my troubles quickly and then. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burden.
See you all tonight in church, beloved. I'm going to ask Brother Shane to dismiss us in prayer tonight. And tonight we're going to do something different with the prayer meeting. Ladies in one group, guys in the next group, and on your prayer request sheet, just pray for five each. Just pray for five people each. That way we won't go to midnight. Brother Shane.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the spiritual food you've given us today. We thank you for the time we've got to spend as a church and accepting your what you've done for us. Pray for the wounded heart in the hospital and just give us the rest of the week and make it good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.